Never sit on the second row over there. What are you doing?
It looks strange from here.
Does it? Praise God. Carity got joke. Amen. That's right. Whether you're inside these four walls or you're out there on the outside, right? Praise Him the same. Amen. Praise God. Good to see y'all this morning. I was listening to a song yesterday as we were driving around. We did that whole Christmas shopping thing. Y'all got your Christmas shopping done? Yeah. Amen. The only reason I got mine done is because my wife made me go with her and get it done. Praise God. Bible says you get to help me. But anyways, I was riding down the road and they're playing this song. And in one verse, man, it just popped out. Are you going to play that, Judy? Praise God. She'll play that thing. Look at there. Listen to this song, and this verse just popped out. And it says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Amen? Amen? About three of y'all got that. So the rest of you must not be free then. Because, man, that just grabbed a hold of me, got me fired up inside. Because you know what? I know I'm free. I've been set free from that bondage of sin. Praise God. Don't mean that I don't stumble, but I've been set free from it. Amen? Bible tells me the righteous man may stumble what? Seven times, but what does he do? Get right back up. That's right. Praise God. So, hey, some of y'all standing up already. The rest of you, go ahead and stand up. See what it feels like. Amen? Go ahead and stand to your feet. Praise God. First song. See, there's some reason to all this. First song, get out of your seats already. Praise God. So now we're going to walk around, shake each other's hand, slap each other high five. You get close to Travis back there, he's going to give you a hug neck anyways, wrap that beard around you. But just enjoy one another. Introduce yourselves. Get out of your comfort zones a little bit. If not, we'll drag you out of it. No, not really. We'll let you be there. Well, praise God. But the one thing we always say here, if you don't know their name, tell them yours. Praise God. Y'all go ahead.
You. Praise God. You don't have to come, but he always does. He didn't have to save us, but guess what he did? He did. Amen. He didn't have to die on the cross, but guess what he did? He did. He didn't have to give us the Holy Ghost, but guess what he did? He did give us the Holy Ghost. He don't have to bless us, but guess what he does? He does bless us. He don't have to hear our prayers, but guess what he does? He hears our prayers. Amen. We got a kids presentation for you today, so y'all grab a seat for a second. Let's see, today after the kids' presentation, then the nursery will open up. And let's see, Sean, if y'all wondering where Sean is, Sean and Mally, they're on the way back from the Boyd unit right now. I know me and my brother was down there yesterday preaching the gospel. We went down Friday, so we was down there Friday and Saturday at the Boyd unit. And we seen about 30 or 40 people give their life to Jesus yesterday. And then Sean and Mally have already sent me a text this morning, said 21 more people came to the Lord this morning. Amen. So that's about 60 people that made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Y'all ought to be clapping for that. Made a decision. I'm going to ask y'all, do people get excited? See, this isn't, not saying this right here, but there's an issue in the body of Christ when people don't get excited about people. See, and I believe whenever you lose your excitement about seeing people get saved, that means that you've lost your fire for God. It is. And so many of us today, you know what the Bible says? There is not but one place that salvation is not rejoiced over, and that's on earth. That's on earth. The only place that you don't find people rejoicing over salvation is on earth. Because the Bible says that when one sinner comes to repentance, all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven rejoices. All of it. And if the kingdom of heaven is at hand and it lives on the inside of us, don't you think we should be rejoicing? Amen. It says, so Bridgeport unit is December 23rd. Y'all getting them set up, Miss Judy? Next Sunday, Christmas Eve service. Don't forget kids wearing PJs. Christmas Eve, everybody will be in service. Let's see here. Next men's breakfast will be in February. We'll get you the details on that. Let's see, and a few prayer requests right here. Y'all don't forget, we're going to pray over these before I sit down. Baby Nehemiah, which is Mark and Sarah's baby, is in Cook's Children's Hospital, so we need to keep that. That baby's only about a week old. We need to keep Nehemiah lifted up in prayer. Let's see, having to get oxygen for breathing. Let's see, Chase and Hannah, they are on their way to Arkansas right now Chase and Shay are on their way. I did that Thursday night, too. Not with y'all, but with Mally and Sean. Chase and Shay, they're on their way to Arkansas right now celebrating their anniversary, but be sure to keep their boys lifted up in prayer. I think Elijah, he's pretty sick. Robbie and Tony, keep him lifted up in prayer. He's had, I believe he got shingles, is that right? And I guess it can get anybody, but it usually happens to older people, and he's in his 40s, you know. Keep Randy Hoffman lifted up in prayer, who's going through some radiation treatments. Keep Carity lifted up in prayer, who's going for an emergency cornea surgery on Thursday. Is that correct? Amen. I want you to pray for two people that don't go to church here. That's Ernest Pardon and Norma Shaw. Two people have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, but we know that God is bigger. Amen. Keep Sister Hattie lifted up in prayer, lost her brother. So let's do this real quick. Let's just go ahead and pray for these people right now. Amen. Let's just go ahead and pray for these folks right now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father. Somebody, Ronnie, just turn around, reach over and lay your hands on Carity. Amen. Jay, go lay your hands on Carity over there. Praise God. Lay your hands on Mr. Carity there. Brother Chris, lay your hands on Randy there. Anybody else in here? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm looking around here. Lay your hands on Dale over there and Sister Hattie. Praise God. We thank you, Father. We bless you. Father God, right now, your word says we're two come into agreement. We shall have whatsoever we ask for, as long as it is according unto thy will. Now, Father God, I believe it's your will that you still heal today, because your word says that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, Father God, we lift up these men, these women right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we release faith in the name of Jesus. Your word says the faith of a mustard seed. And right now, we release faith in the name of Jesus. Father God, over, I lift up Carity, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to the infection in his eyes. I speak to this cornea in the name of Jesus. And I speak life in the name of Jesus, light in the name of Jesus. I speak wholeness and wellness in the name of Jesus. Father God, we rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. We command cancer to get off Randy's body. We rebuke the cancer that has attacked Norma. We rebuke the cancer that has attacked Ernest. And we call them healed. I curse that cancer. I command it to die in the name of Jesus. And that it produce no more fruit in their lives in Jesus Christ's name. Father God, we lift up Sister Hattie and her family. And we thank you, Lord, that you have sent the comforter, the counselor, the one that brings us through the storms and times of trouble. I speak strength in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father God, that their family's hearts would be open to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we give you the glory for it. And we give you the honor for it. in Jesus Christ's mighty, mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless y'all. I believe Miss Judy's got Russ and Judy, the children, are going to do a little presentation, so y'all grab a seat and enjoy. Amen.
You're the us out of these walls. Oh, Spirit, break out of these chains. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here.
I have something to say. There's certain walls that God wants to break down in our lives, but we won't let him. And I don't know, that's for me, but I just feel like I need to say it because it's bubbling. So God, do what you want with it, but I said it.
Break them down, break them down, break them down.
let your spirit break out in this place, Lord. I pray that no one is left untouched by the mighty power of God. God, that we don't leave here the same way that we came in. Lord, whatever's been standing in between you and us, Father, we pray that that thing is broken, that thing is busted, that wall is demolished. In the mighty name of Jesus. Place yourself here into mine. My life is now forever changed. Our eyes be lifted up. Our eyes be lifted up. Our great eternal hope arise. This great design drawn out for me. You just feel the presence of Jesus when you say his name, Emmanuel, because it means God is with us. There's power in that name. Sing in our silence. In our silence. Darkness.
Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel. You know, when Jesus came and he died and he was risen, he said that I will not leave you as orphans. He said, but I'll give you the Comforter, who's the Holy Spirit. So Emmanuel, God is still with us. Amen. He is still with us. He's not just with us, but he's within us. Amen. He's within us. And once you have a complete understanding of that, once you have an understanding of the presence of God, it's then and only then that it'll affect your walk with God. It's then and only then. Because then you recognize when the presence of God is with you wherever you go, you know that nothing's unseen, nothing's hidden. You don't say nothing that he don't hear. You don't do nothing that he doesn't see. And when you understand that, then that's going to start changing the way you live. It's kind of like when you're driving down the road and then you become aware that's a police officer sitting on the shoulder. It affects your actions, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you slap on the seatbelt, hit your brake, slow down, look at your speedometer, looking around. That's how it is when you recognize God is with you. Amen. It causes you to watch life. It causes you to hit your brakes a little bit when you're headed the wrong direction. It causes you to slow down when in doubt, cast it out. Amen. Only those that are not aware of the presence of God, he has no effect on their life. Emmanuel. Is God with you? Is he with you? Because if he is truly with you, he's affecting you. If he is truly with you, he's counseling you on your decisions. If he's truly with you, he's comforting you. He's strengthening you. He's correcting you and giving you instruction. The presence of God is not just to be felt whenever we come into worship. Amen. The presence of God is to be dwelt in beneath the shadow of the Almighty. Beneath the shadow. Doesn't say sometimes I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. I live beneath the shadow of the Almighty. Come on down, Brother Chris. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready to do our offering.
Church. Praise God. I love the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. I'll go ahead and bring the buckets down. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. Now in my Bible, once again, that's in red lettering. So what does that mean? That's Jesus speaking. Amen. Who better to listen to? Because I know I listen to a lot of people and I listen to a bunch of demons in my life. But the peace of God in that still small voice. Amen. It's titled in my Bible, The Parable of the Seed. It says here, and he said, So is the kingdom of God. As if a man shall cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now what Jesus is talking about there is the gospel. So how does that tie into offering, Chris? Well, it's got everything to do with it. If you study it out, if you just look on the surface of it, you don't see nothing. But that's exactly the parable that he's talking about here. When a pastor's preached on it before, he said, how many of you got gardens? Come on now. Not all of us, but you've seen a garden before. What happens? They get out there with them tractors and them discs and stuff, and they turn the ground over, right? They just don't walk out there and throw the seed on top of the ground. Now, there's been many men that try to come up with certain technologies where you can do that. They're usually temporal. But if you'll turn that soil over and you'll get that seed planted at the correct depth that it's supposed to be at, take care of it, keep the weeds away from it, it'll spring up. And not only will it spring up, but it'll bring forth fruit. That's the whole intent, right? You just don't go out there and cast seed to throw it in the ground and walk away from it, do it? No, you come expecting, right? Come on, church. That's the whole reason for a garden, to get something from it. But here's what the awesome thing is that when Christ, I know he did when he come into my life, that it wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't about me, that what I could do. It's what I could do for others. Most of the time that garden comes forth, it's so much that I can't even consume it all. That I'm able to sow into other people's lives. And then once again, if you've sown the right seed, I learned this through my father-in-law. There's seeds out there called heirloom seeds. Y'all know what those are? Those heirloom seeds, if you get the seeds out of that fruit, you can actually eat some of the fruit, save the seeds, sow them again. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Not me, but Jesus. We have an opportunity, church, to sow into the kingdom of God. I sowed into the world for many years. And there's not a day that goes by that I wish I couldn't get those years back and reapply them to where they would truly be fruitful. Because what I thought was fruitful at that time, it was those seeds that had been genetically designed to just cast away. If I'd have taken the seeds from that and tried to plant it again, I'd have got nothing from it. But we have opportunity, church, as Christ lives inside of us, to spread the fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only here, but out there, wherever you are. We were running around there yesterday with all the people and the traffic and all that. And there's a couple of times I just caught myself. And you know what? This is all just distractions of the world to keep my mind off of Christ. Keep my mind off of Christ and what he's done for me, what he's continued to do for me. We must remember our calling, church, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at all cost, at all cost. So I encourage you this morning, church, don't give out of necessity, but give from your heart. We were designed to praise Jesus. We were designed to glorify God. Just stop and think about it. Stop and look around. We were designed to do that. That's why he created us, to glorify him. Who are you going to glorify, church? That's all I got. If you're giving this morning by check, make it out to UTWM. If you're giving cash, there's envelopes in the seats in front of you. If you're a visitor here, got visitors there. I see some new faces floating around. There's a little visitor card in there. Please fill that out real quick. Bring it down, drop it in the bucket. If you're donating online, click on the Donate Now button. We appreciate y'all. Like Pastor says, y'all are much family here as the people sitting in the pews. Amen. Praise God. With a joyful heart, church, get up, bring it down, drop it in the bucket. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Y'all go ahead.
Green. kiddos. You want to come on and get the buckets? Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, for this offering. Lord, I just pray, Lord, by your Spirit, you take it and you do exactly what you intended to do. Lord God, I just want you to bless those who gave. I want you to bless those that wanted to but wasn't able to. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord, for your presence in each and every individual here that has accepted you as their Savior. I want to thank you for these children. I want you to bless them for their performance today. I just thank you, Lord, in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How is everybody? How is everybody? How is everybody? Well, Merry Christmas to everybody. Y'all got your shopping done? Nope. You got your shopping started? Amen. Some of you, yes, no, maybe. I know I get to take my two daughters shopping Tuesday night. We're going shopping for Mom. Amen. So we're going to go shop for Mom. So that'll be interesting. That'll be fun. Amen. We'll probably get a lot of eating done. I don't know if Mom will get any presents or not. We'll get some eating done. Amen. Let's see. Open up your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. Like I said, I'm not real good at preaching Christmassy messages that are all geared around Christmas, because I think everything is geared around Christmas. Amen. I think everything is geared around Christ. That's why we do the little specials and stuff with the kiddos. But I think any message that is preached about Jesus Christ, which should be all messages, is Christmassy. Amen. Does that make sense? So open up your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. Now, I'm hitting on this. I hit on Genesis chapter 1 Thursday night. And just to give you a quick headline of that, about Jesus being the light of the world. And we talked about in Genesis 1:3 where it says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." And if you notice in Genesis chapter 1, that nothing started being created until the light was released into the world first. Then once the light was released into the world, then things started being created, which included the sun and the moon. But the sun and the moon wasn't created till the fourth day. The light was released on the first day. Amen. So I believe that what that was, that light being released, since John chapter 1 says nothing that was made was not made without Jesus Christ, without him, then the light that was released into this world was Jesus Christ going to work on God's creation, making it. Amen. And that's the same way that Christ does in our life. Ain't nothing going to happen in your life until the light of God, the light, Jesus Christ, comes into your life. And then he can go to work in your life starting to straighten some things up. Amen. There wasn't nothing made until the light was released. Many of us still walking in darkness. How do you know you're walking in darkness? Because we continue living in a way of life that dishonors God's ways. Amen. No repentance from it. Amen. No repentance from it. So as I was reading that the other day, I was sitting there. And then if we go over to Revelations, go to Revelations with me real quick. Some of y'all may sit there and say, well, that don't say that's Jesus, the light of the world, or the light. But Revelations chapter 21, verse 23 says, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it." Isn't that amazing how this world started out? There was no need of the sun or the moon. And then when it ends, there's no need of the sun or the moon. Amen. See, the sun and moon is for you and I. God is not in need of his creation. The creator is not in need of his creation. The sun and the moon is given to us. Amen. While we're on this earth. So it says, "The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." The Lamb is its light. So as I've just been praying, I just feel like that sometimes we need to go through the Word of God. And there's so much teaching out there that tells us that we do not need to preach out of the Old Testament no more. Which if you hear that in a church, you need to get up and exit at your nearest exit as quick as possible. That's the problem with most churches today. Now it amazes me that preachers nowadays will say that we don't need to preach out of the Old Testament anymore. Amen. But did you know that the book of Genesis is referred to more than any other book in the Bible? Did you know that every New Testament author, Paul, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, every single one of them referred back to the New Testament? I mean, back to the book of Genesis? Did you know that the book of Genesis is referred to and quoted over 200 times in the New Testament? Amen. It is the Jesus referred back to it 6 different times. Amen. So I think if all the New Testament authors, I think if it was good enough for them to refer back to, if it was good enough for the Holy Spirit to refer back to, amen, I think it's good enough for us to refer back to. Did you know that every doctrine that is taught in the New Testament, you can trace it back to the first 11 chapters of Genesis? That's why some of this garbage being taught today, you can't find in the Bible. Amen. So let's look into Genesis chapter 3. Well, we're going to start out in chapter 2. We'll start out in chapter 2 in verse 16. And we know that God, when he had spoke, he'd put Adam in the garden. In verse 16 and 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Let's stand up. Let's pray real quick. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your word, for it's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, Father God, I'm asking right now, according to your word, according to what you say, Lord, and we know that you are bound by your word, and you're a God that shall not lie. We know that you watch over your word to be sure that it performs everything that you've sent it to do, not returning unto you void, and that every jot and every tittle shall be fulfilled. We know that you come to fulfill the law and not to do away with the law. Now, Father God, your word says where two or three are gathered together that you shall be in the midst of them, and we acknowledge and we welcome your presence here right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I'm praying that right now, everybody under the sound of my voice and those that are watching over the Facebook, those that are watching over the internet, I'm asking, Father God, that your word go forth in power and authority in a way that it's easily understood, Lord, and let us not forget to apply it to our life. Let us not walk out of here, Father God, and become jelly-brained and just going back to the same way that we've been living, walking out of here grabbing absolutely nothing of what was said. But I pray, Lord, that you plant the word of God deep into our heart so that the fowl of the air may not steal it and that it produce 30, 60, and 100-fold return in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I'm praying right now, Lord, that every stronghold be busted, every blocking demon that would keep us from receiving what you would have us to say be busted loose. I'm praying, Father God, that the dark areas of our heart, that the light of God has not been illuminated upon. I pray that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, would shine into the dark areas of our heart, illuminating the things that need to be illuminated upon, Father God, and giving us the wisdom to know what to walk away from and what to grab a hold of. I pray, Father God, that you pour your wisdom out upon mankind. I'm praying, Father God, that you bust loose every shackle of sin, every yoke. I pray, Father God, that you break loose every chain that holds us to our past, Lord, and that you would catapult us into our future, anointed by the Holy Ghost, going forth with the fire of God, opening our mouth and spreading the gospel and devouring the adversary by the words that come out of our mouth. Now, Father God, I pray that you receive all the glory and you receive all the honor in Jesus Christ's mighty, mighty name. Amen and amen. He says, "And the Lord God commanded man, saying..." So the first command that was ever given was what? Don't eat from this. The first command that was ever given was what? Don't eat from this tree. You can eat from any tree that you want to eat from, but don't eat from this tree. Amen? And it says, "And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Let's go over to Genesis chapter 3 now. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made." In other words, the serpent, the devil, he was slick. He was able to communicate in a way. He was able to present things that would cause a person to want to desire them. Amen. He was able to present the things of the world that would cause a person to want to desire them. Amen. Now, when we look at this in a way, this is no different than us, because how does a piece of fruit, is a piece of fruit sinful? Is a piece of fruit bad within itself? No, amen. And many of the things in our life that we do today, we don't see it as bad. We don't see it as sinful. We don't see it as wrong. And the enemy usually is not going to come up to you, amen, and just present something to you that you know right off the bat is wrong. He's going to present something to you that you do not see no harm in. You do not see no problem with it, amen. You don't see absolutely nothing wrong with it. See, the enemy did not use crack cocaine in order to deceive Eve. The enemy did not use Jack Daniels to deceive Eve. The enemy did not use prostitution prostitution to deceive Eve. The only thing that he used was a piece of fruit. Something that small, something that little, that's what he used to deceive Eve, amen? But it wasn't necessarily about the fruit. What was it really about? It was about whether we was going to obey God or not. So whether we disobey God over eating a piece of fruit or if we disobey God over robbing a bank, it's still disobedience to God. Does that make sense? Amen? Because God wants to what? He looks at the heart of man. Amen? So when we go in this and we look at it, and the enemy was slick. The enemy was slick in talking them into doing some stuff. And the enemy ain't no different today. He's still slick. Amen? He's still slick. He is still convincing people that the things that God does not approve of are okay. He's still, what is your piece of fruit that the enemy has set before your eyes that is causing you to compromise your walk with God? What is the piece of fruit that the enemy has set before your eyes that is maybe taking your loved ones and compromising their walk with God? What is the fruit that the enemy has set before your eyes and maybe you don't see nothing wrong with it, but it's causing a struggle in your walk, in your house. It's causing a struggle with your loved ones because the piece of fruit that you see nothing wrong with is the very thing that's compromising the ones in your house's walk. And this is what happened to Adam. This is what happened to Eve. Is it was the piece of fruit that compromised what? Eve's walk. And it was the piece of fruit that compromised Adam's walk. Amen. And it was the piece of fruit that what? That caused this world. And I'm going to tell you, you and I have got a responsibility, people, that as we continue going through the piece of fruit, whatever our weakness is, and we continue dragging others into it in the same way that Eve drug Adam in, it's just going to be a matter of time before you cause your loved ones to fall in the same mess that you're eating from. Are you with me on that? Why would somebody that's been delivered from drugs continue taking somebody that's struggling with drugs into places where there are drugs? You're setting them up for failure. Are you with me on that? Are you with me on that? All right, he says. And the serpent was cunning. More cunning than any beast of the field. And that's how many of us are today. We got a way to talk about things. We got a way to wrap things up in a pretty package where it doesn't seem like it's really that wrong. We got ways to put words on things in order to justify what it is that we want to do. And the ability to talk others into doing it. And we've got very cunning words that we use today in order to talk people into doing things, in order to justify the things that I want to do. I talk cunningly to my own head, to my own self, in order to justify what I want to do. And then I find myself talking cunningly to others to get them in agreement with me to do it. Come on, this is good preaching so far. The enemy still talks cunningly to us inside of our own head. Coming up and telling us little things, one little compromise here, one little compromise there. Really, it ain't no big deal. Really, it ain't no big deal. Does he still do it today? Does he still do it today? And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? No, that's not what God said. God did not say you shall not eat from every tree of the garden. He said you can eat from any tree but one. So what does the enemy do? He wants to get up on the inside of a person's head and he wants to just change the word of God just a little bit in order to try to confuse you. And that's why we got to keep going back to the word of God. That's why the Bible says that a man cannot lean upon his own understanding. Amen. That's why the Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is there of death. Why? I got to continue going through the word of God and lining the word of God up with my thoughts or my thoughts with the word of God, because the enemy and the world is going to come in there and change the meaning of the word, going to be very, very cunning in order to get you to disbelieve what the word of God says, so the enemy can take you down the path he wants to take you down. And if we're not staying in the word of God, we're not going to know what God said, what the enemy said, what the world said, and what I said. That's why we must stick with the word of God. Everything that comes into my mind, I must bring it into obedience. I must bring it into submission to the word of God. And just because you can't find something in the word of God does not give you the okay to go ahead and do it. Many of us, we say, well, I can't find this in the word of God. And you think that that's an okay to go do it. Amen? So let's go on here. And he says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden,
But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you shall die. See, now she's already twisting the word. God didn't tell Adam that if you eat from it, lest you shall die. He said, no, you're going to die. Now, lest, what does that word mean? And listen to me, lest, see, listen to me. You listen to me. Whenever Adam and Eve went ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their death was not immediately. And there's many of us that we continue going to places that we shouldn't be, continue living ways that we shouldn't live, and because we've not seen anything happen as of right now, we think God's okay with it. It took Adam and Eve 930 years to learn how to die, and your time is coming too if you don't repent. My time is coming too if I don't repent. The world's time is coming too. And just because nothing is wrong with it right now, that doesn't mean that God's winking at it and saying it's okay. And many a times it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance is what the Word of God says. It is the goodness of God that's holding His judgment back upon our actions, hoping that we'll turn from it and turn to Him. Come on now, church. Hallelujah. And he says, and for those of y'all that don't know, why did I pray in tongues? And there was an interpretation right afterwards. Amen. And he says, and the woman said, lest you shall die. See, added to. In other words, here is the deal. It wasn't that Eve, Ronnie, didn't believe what God's word said. She just didn't believe in the consequences that God said. Come on now. And we are no different today. It's not that we don't believe what God's word says. We just don't believe the consequences that he says, which means we really don't what? Believe God's word. So you know what? Eve is over there having this conversation going on with the enemy, and he's convincing her that, no, there ain't nothing really going to happen if you eat from this fruit. And there's many of us today that we're having the same conversation with the enemy inside our own same head. That we're living in a way that we're sitting there and we're convincing ourselves that I can continue living in this. I can continue compromising. I can continue in fornication. I can continue in lying. I can continue in my hustle. I can continue what it is. I can continue. But really we say that we believe God's word, but really we don't because we don't believe the consequences that are going to follow. And that's where the problem with the body of, well the people that go to church is. You notice I don't call them the body of Christ. That's the problem with the people that go to church. It's not that they don't want to read God's word, but it's just that they don't believe in the consequences because they say, my God wouldn't do nothing like that. Come on now. So many of us, we want to live a life and we want the benefits of going to heaven. We want all the good things that the word says, but I don't want to believe the other things that the word says. Amen. So what do I want to do? I want to continue my life with hopefully gambling, rolling the dice like me and my brother said, that one of these days when I get into heaven, that God's going to be sitting up there to roll a dice and rolling and trying to get me in that way. When really the fact of the matter is this, we get into the word of God, we read it, but we just don't believe the consequences of God's word. And that's exactly where Eve was. She was sitting there defending somewhat the word, saying, wait a minute, God said don't do this. Less, that word less means that she doesn't believe the consequences. She doesn't believe the consequences. And there's many of us that are living in ways today, many people out there that are living in ways today. We're coming to church, we're playing the game, we're going through the religious motion and all that, but we do not believe in the consequences of God's word that we're going to have to pay one day if we don't turn from sin and follow him and be washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. Now it says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. What did God say? You will surely die. You will surely die. See how the enemy tries to twist the word? And we are no different today. We take the Bible, people take the Bible, they take things out of context, and they fit the word in order to fit their desire. They fit the word in order to fit their desire. We sit there and we take things out of the Word of God and we twist it and we sit there and we don't address homosexuality and we call that walking in love. We don't address people living in fornication and we call that walking in love. And what we call love today is don't say anything to anybody that would upset them. Don't say anything to anybody that would offend them. Don't say anything to anybody that would make them feel uncomfortable. You know what? I don't need that kind of love. Amen. I need a kind of love that's going to sharpen me, knock the edges off of me, get the iron off of me, and turn me into a sword in the hand of Almighty God. I need a love that's so great that ain't going to let me stay how I am. I need a love that's so great it's going to convict me when I speak to my wife the way that I'm not supposed to speak. I need a love that's so great that it's going to shape me and mold me. And I need a love that is so great that the Word of God is a hammer and He's willing to bring it and break my hard heart into pieces. I need a love that's so great that's not worried about where I'm at right now, but wants to transform me because of where He wants to take me. I need a love so great that a man was willing to lay down his life in order so that I could have the change that needed to be done. We call this garbage love today. We call this garbage love today, and the only thing that it is a self-seeking admiration from man's eyeball. It's a self-seeking, trying to draw men unto me. It is wanting to exalt your name above the name and fame of Jesus Christ. It is a self-seeking that downplays who God is. It is a self-seeking that downplays the judgment of God. It is a self-seeking pat on the back. It has nothing to do with the love of God. It is a false love. It is not of God, but the love of God is a love that will look a brother in the eye and lay down your life. Lay down your life. What does that mean? Lay down what people think about you. And lay down what anybody else thinks about you, because you know that the only thing that matters is what the one sitting on the throne of kingdom thinks about you, and that's the Lord thy God. I'm talking about a love that casteth out all fear. I'm talking about a love that causes you not to fear what man thinks about you, not to fear what man can do to you, not to fear what man may say about you, but I'm talking about a love, hallelujah, that motivates you, empowered by the truth of the Word of God, to open up your mouth so the words that come out of your mouth are full of power and authority, and they're so power that only one of two things can happen. Either a man's going to come to Jesus or they're going to run to Jesus. But it requires an answer. That's love. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." No, you're going to die. That's it. You keep on being disobedient to God. You keep on not serving God. You keep on adding to and taking away from the Word of God. According to the book of Revelations, it says if you add to this word, you take away from this word, that you'll be danger and hellfire. You go find you an ear-tickling message of a church that's going to tell you never talk about sin, never talk about judgment, never talk about the wrath of God. Because I'm telling you, you cannot talk about the love of God without talking about the wrath of God, because you'll never understand the love of God until you first of all understand the judgment of God. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What? What? That's too many. That's the problem today. We want to be like God, and we think that we've got the ability in our own humanistic knowledge to be smarter than the Word of God. We want to exalt our doctrine. Man, not God's doctrine, our doctrine. What we think and what we believe above God's ways. And God did not want them to know good and evil, because the only thing that Adam and Eve ever knew was good. The only thing that Adam and Eve ever knew was good. The garden was good. Everything leading up to this in the Bible, it says, and God seen that it was good. He said, light be, and God seen that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. See, that's how you know when the light has showed up in your life. Because when the light shows up in your life, there's going to be a separation between you and sin. If there ain't no separation between you and sin, it's because the light has not showed up. Because when you turn the lights on in this room, darkness can't stay. It's got to go. And when Jesus Christ shows up in your life, sin can't stay. It's got to go. And when it comes and visits, and knocks, you answer it with faith. You answer it with the righteousness of God. Because he that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. Amen. No weapon formed against me. It may form. It may come against me. It may knock on my door. It may trip me. It may knock me down. It didn't say that it would not form. It said that it shall not prosper. And there ain't a devil in hell or a man on earth that can undo what God has done. He says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. See, everything that Adam and Eve knew was good. They didn't know any of this stuff. And then all of a sudden, the reason that God didn't want them to eat from that tree is because, thank you, brother, he didn't want them to come and know good and evil. Well, you know why? Because once you know good and evil, now you're responsible for the decision. Come on now. God didn't want them to know good and evil, but God still had to give them a choice because God don't make no robots. Because God don't make no robots. But God said, I want you to choose me. I know we got a lot of folk out there that believe that God makes robots. I'm here to tell you, God don't make no robots. He said, I have set before you life and death. You choose. He said, if you're going to serve God, serve God. He said, if you're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. But make a decision. He gave him a choice. Sitting in that garden. And he said, right here, he said, right here, he says, good and evil, don't eat from it. Why? Like I said a while ago, because the only thing Adam and Eve knew was good. Only thing Adam and Eve knew was good. So now when they chose to disobey God, now they knew good and evil, and now they had to make the decisions the rest of their life, just like you and I. We got to make decisions. See, now we don't know nothing. That we don't know just good. We don't know just good. That's where God, that was his plan at creation. But now, you and I, we got to have to make the choice between good and evil. Between good and evil. Do I drink or do I not drink? Do I live in fornication or do I not? Do I lie or do I not? Do I compromise my walk? Do I not? Ain't no different than Adam and Eve. Y'all with me so far? So when the woman saw that the tree was good and it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Boom, right here, sin enters into the world. Sin didn't enter into your life by the first time you committed a sin. You're committing the sin was proof that sin was already in the world. Listen to me again. Sin did not enter into your life when you made a mistake, when you missed the mark. Sin did not enter into your life the first time you got high. Sin did not enter into your life the first time you took a drink. Sin did not enter into your life the first time you fornicated. Sin did not enter into your life the first time that you lied, lusted, or coveted. That's not when sin entered into your life. The sin entered into your life all the way back here at the garden when Adam and Eve messed up. That's when sin come into your life. And then when the sin come into your life, amen, then you can only produce the root or the fruit of the root that you're attached to. And all of us were born under the Adamic curse, which is Adam's curse. All of us were born. So when we commit the sin, that is nothing more than the fruit of what is already in me. Does that make sense? Many of us, that's why people don't understand it. They say, I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. I go to church. I do this. I tithe. I ain't ever drank, dipped, chewed, or hung out with those who do. I've only been with one man or one woman. I've been married for you. That's not, listen, the reason we're all sinners, the reason we all had sin, and the reason that every person's got to be born again is not because of the act of the sin, but simply because of the original sin that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And therefore, every man after that become a sinner. That's why Cain killed Abel. First murder ever taken place. Amen? So it says in verse 5, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 2 real quick. Ephesians 2, 1. And the Bible says, and you he made alive. What? To make something alive means it once had to be dead. Who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So here's what you got to understand. Paul is saying right here that each and every single one of us, we were born dead. Each and every one of us, amen, because of what Adam and Eve done in the Garden of Eden, it's not what you done that made you a sinner. It's not what I done that made me a sinner, amen. That's what I was, that's why I was a sinner, amen. Go to John chapter 5 real quick. John chapter 5 in verse, let's see here, 24. It tells us, most assuredly I say to you, this is Jesus talking, he who hears my word and believes in him, he who what? Hears his word and what? He who hears. We got a lot of people that are hearing the word but not believing the word. And you may say, well, it said believes in him. Well, my Bible says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ and the word of God are one and the same. They're not separate. To be disobedient to Christ's word is to be disobedient to God. Amen. But he said, not only him who hears my word, but he who believes the word, believes in him. Hearing it and believing it is something different. There's many atheists out there that listen to the word of God, but they don't believe it. They listen to it in order to try to prove it wrong. Amen. But what I got to do is I got to add something with that. See, it's not until I hear it, believe it, obey it, that I'm going to be what? Be changed into what God would have me to be. Amen. He says, he who hears my word, he says, if you obey me, you love me. And if you'll obey me, I'll manifest myself unto you. See, many of us want Jesus Christ to show us that he's real. Let me give you a challenge. Instead of setting back, see, Jesus Christ don't have to show you anything else that he's real. In the same way that you read your American history book and you believe in the Civil War, we'll believe in the Civil War, but we don't believe the Word of God. We'll believe in World War I, but we don't believe in the Word of God. We'll believe in World War II, but we don't believe in the Word of God. We got a Bible right here that tells us that Jesus Christ died and he was resurrected on the third day and seen by over 500 people, but yet we won't believe that. Why? Because the enemy wants to come in and deceive you. And if he can get you to compromise God's word, just like he did Adam, just like he did Eve, then he can get you to compromise your walk. But you'll never compromise your walk until you compromise the word first. That's why many of us, we don't want to read God's word. And the enemy does everything that he can to keep us away from God's word. Because there's one or two things that happen when you read God's word. Either the conviction will be so great that it will break you and it will humble you and it will bring you down to your knees crying out to Almighty God. But it's that moment right there that the Bible says that the humble shall be exalted. It's not until you're on your face recognizing that God has absolutely no reason to save you except for out of his goodness and out of his mercy. And it's when you're on your knees broken and undone and you've recognized that you've not been following God at all. You recognize that if God was to send you into hell right now, he would be perfectly just in doing it. But Jesus come down to this earth after he got out of the wilderness and he said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. You'll never receive healing until you are first of all broken. Jesus didn't come to save those that don't need a physician, but Jesus come to fix the ones that are broken. And we got too many people today that are walking around in self-righteousness and don't see their need for an almighty God. We must. I've got to recognize every day that I can't be the husband that I need to be until I first of all become the man of God that I need to be. I can't seek my wife. I got to seek God. And I want to tell you something, church. I have made my mistakes. I have screwed up. I have fouled up. I am not without sin. I am not without error with my wife and with my children. But here's one thing that I know, that God said he's going to finish the work that he has started in me. And the husband I am today, I was not 10 years ago. Man, my brother was talking yesterday on the way back from prison. You may look, I just said this as an example. I said, you may look at Kevin Alexander. You may look at Clover Alexander. And in your self-righteousness, in my self-righteousness, my children have probably heard me and my wife argue. And we don't tell them everything that we're arguing over. I like to sit here and talk about Jacoby and Bailey. They're newly married. They're in bliss. Oh, but listen to me. I hope it stays that way, and I'm going to tell you why. See, because Jacoby and Bailey may look at me and Clover, and they may hear us have an argument. They may hear us say some things that shouldn't have been said. And they may step back, and they may say, well, I can't believe Mama said that, or I can't believe that Daddy said that. But here's one thing that we fought tooth and nail to protect them from. See, they don't understand. We hadn't told them the stories. We've told them some of them, but they don't know the stories that me and Clover have been through. They don't know the breakups. They don't know the cheating. They don't know the lying. They don't know the hurt that was all there, which sometimes still, even today, causes me to react in a way, because I'm carrying some battle scars. She's carrying some battle scars, and I'm going through this life, and I may react in a way that they may not understand. That's why I pounded the word of God into them so they'd never get in a place that me and Clover was, so they don't have to go through what we went through. I want to protect them from that. Don't you ever sit there and judge somebody because you don't know how deep in the alley they come from. You don't know where they come from. You don't know how hard they fought to get to where they're at. And let me tell you something. You want to talk about love? The Bible says that love never fails. Me and this woman right here have fought. We have split up. There's been things going on in our marriage in the past that I'm not allowed to tell you from this pulpit. But love never fails. We fought through. We've made it through. Most people couldn't make it through what we made it through. Don't tell me. And just because it ain't painted the way you think it should be painted. We come from a deep, dark alley. And it might be easy for you to sit there and say that because you ain't ever come from the darkness, from that. And I ain't saying that we all didn't come from sin. But in your relationship, you ain't come from where me and this woman come from. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. That's good preaching. Anybody. We come from hell itself. Yeah, we still got some problems. We still got some things going on in our marriage. Amen. We still got some things. Every once in a while, we still have an argument. Every once in a while, I still got to go apologize. Say, I didn't mean to say that to you. I'm going to tell you what. Like I said, you don't know how far behind you we were just to get to where you at now. Look out, we're fitting to pass you, though. Most assuredly, I say to you, and we got a wonderful marriage. I ain't saying wonderful marriage don't mean you don't have disagreements. I tell people all the time, you got to learn to fight right. Most of, we don't even always fight nice. We just fight right. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Thank God. Listen to this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes, he who hears my word and obeys, he who hears my word and follows in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. How do you avoid the judgment of God? You judge yourself while you're on the earth. See, if I judge myself now according to God's word, then I don't have to be judged by God's word when I go to the, when I go to heaven. Amen? And it tells me, but hath passed from death to life. Amen? So what ended up happening when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we all became dead in our sin, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We all became dead in our sin. Every one of us was dead in our sin. Every one of us was headed to hell. But the only way that we can pass from death to life is we got to believe in him. And to believe in him is not, listen, this is where the church is today. This is where people are today. Not the church. This is where people are today. People are at a place today because just because they say, I believe in Jesus Christ, they think that they're going to heaven. They think they're going. When the Bible says that even Satan himself appears as an angel of light, the Bible says within itself that in that day they will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy? Did I not cast out demons in your name? And he said, part from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. What is a worker? Somebody that continually does something over and over. See, when you go to work, you work in order to earn wages. And while you live on this earth, you're working to earn. Well, that don't sound right. But you know what? You're gonna, let me put it this way. You're going to be paid your wages. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Amen? Let me say it the right way. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So whatever God we serve on this earth will be the God that we spend eternity with. And you know what? Many of us, we don't want to get into the Word of God, and I truly, truly believe this with all my heart, that people want to be led by their own feelings, by their own convictions, because if they was to truly get into the Word of God, then the Word of God is going to crucify the flesh, and you're going to have to lay down the things that your flesh so greatly enjoys. That's called death. See, your flesh, you're at a war against your flesh. It ain't easy to overcome. The Word of God does two things. Builds up your spirit, man, kills your flesh. If that ain't happening, you ain't serving God. Amen? All right, let's go back to Genesis real quick. I'm going to try to make it through all this today. All right, then he says, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Sin entered into the world. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. What? Then the eye, wait a minute. Let's go to Romans real quick. Let me read this to you. So what happened when Adam sinned? Let me just read to you. Let's start out in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered. Who's the one man? Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. See, God made man to live forever. But the wages of sin is death. What is the punishment of sin? Death. Eternal separation from God. So now our body dies, amen, but our spirit man lives forever in one place or the other. It's either going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. But what determines that is the way you live and what you believe while you're on this earth. Because what you believe will determine and dictate the way that you live. Now, it's not what you say, but what you believe in your heart. That's why the Bible says, out of the mouth a man speaketh. Or the Bible says that he speaketh out of the abundance of the heart. Amen? Out of the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart. Your heart being your mindish area. I can say something that I don't believe. I can go tell somebody a lie, but I don't even believe it. I'm just trying to get one over on them. I can lie to the police officers, amen, but I really don't believe it down in my heart. And that's how many of us are with Jesus Christ. We lie about knowing Jesus. We lie about that, but really we know down in our heart, we just lying. We're trying to pull one over on the police. But in our heart, we really don't believe him, because what is the fruit of it? If I really believed him in my heart, if I really believed God in my heart, then I'd believe his word, amen? And if I believed his word and I believed him in my heart, then it would change my actions, amen? But my actions are always going to follow what I believe. Amen? And if I mess up or if I screw up, then it's going to convict me, and then it's going to bring me to a place of repentance. Amen? So he says here, therefore, just through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Who? All men. Who? Because all have what? Sinned. All have sinned. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So you know what? We all became sinners, and we're all sentenced unto death by the one man who? Jesus Christ. Amen. But there ain't but one thing that's stronger than death. There is not but one law that is stronger than the law of sin and death, and that is the spirit, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The only thing that can take me out of hell and place me into heaven is the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can take me from being a sinner to a saint is the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can change me into what God would have me to be is the moving and the operation of the Holy Ghost that only happens by sanctification. It is the sanctification of the Holy Spirit that is working in me, separating me from the sin nature and keeping my focus on the cross of Calvary. And now sanctification, the process of cleaning me up and turning me into what God would have me to be, can start working. See, many of us think we're saved, but we have not taken the first step in being sanctified. And there's two things that happen. It's the blood of Jesus that justifies you. The blood of Jesus justifies you. It's when we put faith in Christ and we start following Christ. It is the blood of Jesus that washes me. It is the blood of Jesus that put robes of righteousness on me. It is the blood of Jesus that makes me as white as snow, though my sins were many. But when the blood of Jesus hits me, that my sin is cast into the depth of the sea. It's as far as the east is from the west, and Jesus Christ remembers it no more. But then there's a process that starts happening called sanctification. Justification is when I'm washed in the blood. And when I'm washed in the blood, justified, never sinned. But then the Holy Spirit starts working through me, sanctifying. Justification is Jesus fighting for you. Sanctification is the Holy Ghost fighting through you and with you. Y'all don't get that, church. You don't get that. I'm telling you didn't get that. I know it right here. Justification. If you understood this, it would change your pursuit of God. Justification is when Jesus Christ himself, his blood, I cannot justify myself. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that justifies me, that washes away my sin. But now sanctification has got to happen. And sanctification is the Holy Spirit fighting through you and with you. That is the sanctification is the war between the flesh and the spirit. Sanctification is when the Holy Spirit now dwells on the inside of you and he's warring against your thoughts. He's warring against sin. It is the sanctification process working in me that causes me to choose God rather than choosing sin. It is the sanctification process that is working in me, sanctifying me, changing me, causing me to grow. It is the sanctification that is now the Holy Spirit living in me, fighting through me against the sinful nature that wants to rule me. Or the flesh that wants to rule me. And if there is not a war going on the inside of you between the spirit and the flesh, then sanctification is not happening. We got many, many people that say that they're born again, saved, and love God, but ain't a fruit one. If I look at an orange tree, I can tell it's an orange tree. If I look at an apple tree, I can tell it's an apple tree. If I look at an okra plant, I can tell it's an okra plant. Do I need to go any further? All right, he says, I know this is preaching that people don't like to hear. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. In other words, what Jesus Christ gave me is not like the gift that come through Adam. It's not like the death that come through Adam. It's something different. It says, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. See, what I got from Adam was condemnation. I was condemned to hell. You was condemned to hell. But the Bible says that the gift that Jesus Christ gave you and me is not like the condemnation that came from Adam. He says, for the judgment. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Justified, never sinned. Yes, I know I was born in sin. Yes, I know I was born in darkness. Yes, I know that I was born with a sin nature. But here's one thing that I understand. That when I was not worthy, Christ died for me. When I could do nothing to earn my own righteousness, Christ died for me. That Christ had a gift that he wanted to give me. And it was justification, not by what I'd done, not by my own works, and not even by what Adam had given me, but it was justification by the blood that was shed at the cross of Calvary. And it's given to any man that believes and any man who follows. He says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. And he says, for by one man's offense, death reigned through the one man. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So what is it? So if you had, okay, you ready with this? Thank you, Holy Ghost. If you had nothing to do with becoming a sinner, what makes you think you can have anything to do with becoming righteous? You didn't understand that, church. You didn't have nothing to do with becoming a sinner. It was a free gift from Adam. Here you go. That's somebody giving you a pack of rotten eggs. Oh, thank you, Adam. You had nothing to do with becoming a sinner. You old self-righteous thing, you was born that way. Just because you never drank, never said a cuss word, never, you think that makes you acceptable in God's eyes? Bible says that your righteousness is a filthy rags. So if I had nothing to do with becoming a sinner, what makes me think I got anything to do with becoming righteous? See, here's what, let me wrap up Romans chapter 5 for you. Here's what he's saying in short. In the same way that you had nothing to do with becoming a sinner, you was born that way. You have nothing to do with becoming righteous. You just got to be born again. You got to be born that way. You got to be born that way. All right, I'm going to finish up here. Maybe. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened.
And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a covering. Now check that out. Isn't that just how we do? All of a sudden, they went, they disobeyed. So you know what they did? They made themselves a covering. They made themselves an apron. You know what the problem with an apron is? It don't cover your backside. You know what the problem with an apron is? It only covers the parts that's facing the people. If you got an apron on and you're talking to somebody, chances are you ain't going to turn around and walk away from them. You know, hospital gown. Amen. It only covers the part that's facing the people. It only covers the parts that you don't want the people to see. See, there's some people seeing some junk up in my life. Amen. That's what an apron does. That's what church does many, many times. It's our apron. See, we come to church and we beautify ourselves, get ourselves, but we don't come to church just come clean. We come to church and then we back out the front door. We back out. We don't want nobody to know what's really going on at home. We don't want nobody to really know what's going on. And we come back to church and we think that we're tricking God. We think that we're fooling God. We think that we're fooling so many people. And this is what Adam and Eve done. What did they do? They sewed some fig leaves together. And what did the fig leaves do? They put the little fig leaves on and they covered themselves, the parts that God didn't want to see. But the Bible says that there's no stone left unturned. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of the Almighty. But you know what happens with a fig leaf? You know what happens with the leaf when you leave it out in the sun? When you leave it out in the sun long enough, it gets hot because it's not connected to the life source anymore and the edges start curling up. In other words, it starts shrinking away. See, that's what the law of God does when we look at it in our own life. When we look at the law of God, our own righteousness, our own goodness starts shrinking up and it starts fading away in the law of Almighty God. So what did God do? He went looking for him through the garden. See, there ain't nothing that you and I can do to cover ourselves. You can come to church all day. It ain't coming to church to get you into heaven. It's not going to Bible study to get you into heaven. It's not saying a Hail Mary that gets you into heaven. It's not trying to save your marriage that gets you into heaven. See, listen, you trying to do the right thing in order to save your family is not what gets you into heaven. Amen? I'm going to ask you this. If what you did, if all the right things that you did didn't save your family, would you still be serving God when everything else was gone? But he says right here, he says, and that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Y'all come on up, musicians. What happened? This was God coming and looking for, they sinned. And here's the first thing that happens. Let me tell you something. The first thing that happens when you're involved in sin is you start running from where the word of God is preached, just like Adam and Eve did. When you're involved in sin, you're going to start getting away from the people. When you, I mean, people, yeah. People are stupid. And I'm a people, so I'm putting me in that. You start getting, that's why many people don't like coming to church where righteousness and holiness is preached. Because you sit there and feel like it's the preacher condemning you when it's really the Holy Ghost convicting you. And if you knew if you would spend some time in the Word, and if you knew your God, see, that's the deal. There's too many of us today that call ourselves a Christian, but we don't even know the God that we say we serve. We know a God that we created in our mind. We know a God that I would like to serve, so I create that God in my mind, and I stay away from anything or anybody that would reveal the true holy God to me. You don't know your God. Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. Church today, we got beautiful buildings, we got beautiful places, and don't know their God. Don't know the God that they say they serve. And he says, I'm finishing right here. You can start playing back there. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you?
Boy, what picture do you see here? Man's sin. And we draw away. We started. Adam and Eve hid from God. There's too many of us today. We're hiding from the Word. We're hiding from the Bible. We're hiding from prayer. We're hiding from these things. We're hiding from people that will bring the truth of the Word of God into our life. We're hiding from it. And then when you start hiding, you start lying. You lie to people. You really don't want to tell people what's really going on. You just give them the bits and the pieces of the story that you want them to hear. And because you know why? You still got your apron on, your fig leaf. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? You only tell them the parts that you want them to see because you still got your apron on, your fig leaf. You don't want to show them everything. You don't want to show them the times. You don't want to show them that the reason that your wife stumbled back into the mess or your husband stumbled back into the mess that they stumbled back into because you wouldn't be the leader of the house. And in the same way that Adam allowed Eve to go over there and have that conversation with the enemy, you're taking your wife into places where she's conversing with the enemy and it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you. It may not be today. The death may not be today, but it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You might say, I'm speaking that over your life. I ain't speaking it over your life. God said it to Adam. You keep on going where you're going. Just like Adam didn't think it was going to happen right now. Didn't think it was going to happen today. It didn't happen today. But it did come. The only thing that God's given you an opportunity to do, the only thing God's given me an opportunity to do is repent. Because once you leave this earth, no more opportunity will be given. Amen? So what happened? They hid themselves. They hid themselves. Hid themselves. And then God started walking through the garden. And God called out. He said, Adam! The Bible says, nobody comes unto me unless drawn by the Father. See, man runs from God, but God runs to man. Adam and Eve were hiding in the garden. They didn't want to hear what God said. They didn't want to hear God's word. They didn't want to be confronted about the sin that they were in. Many of us today, we stay away from. And what do? We change the word of God because I don't want to be confronted about what's really going on in my life. And I'm not talking about that confrontation from me or anybody else. I'm talking about the confrontation that the Spirit of God will bring through His word. And he said that, and he yelled out. He said, then the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, where are you? Where are you? Does this sound like Jesus? Let's go to Luke real quick. Luke 5:31. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. He said, I come to call the sinner. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, what did they become? Sinners. And what is God doing? He called out in the garden and said, Adam! Adam! That is no different than what Jesus Christ is doing right now on this earth. He didn't come to save. He come to save those that have fallen, those that have disobeyed, those that have fallen away from Him. Those that are not following God. Those that are still hiding in our own righteousness. Those that are still hiding in our own goodness. Those that are still hiding behind the church, behind whatever it is. Listen to me. Look at me. God is going to give every single person in this room. Now, y'all may be sitting here thinking, well, Pastor Kevin, why are you preaching this to me? We're all in church. We're all in saved. We're all saved. You know what? Look around you. You're probably saying, why am I saying that, huh? Why am I saying that? When was the last time you brought a sinner to church to hear a message like this and quit only thinking about yourself? When was the last time that those People that you're sinning with and those ones that cuss and filthy mouths and you laugh at their jokes and everything and carry on. Me, whoever it is. When's the last time we grabbed a hold of them and said, hey, man, I got something you need to hear? See, we look at something like this. When a lot of people have left our church because they don't agree with the message that I preach, then y'all may look at the preacher and say, well, he needs to start preaching different. No, you need to start evangelizing and becoming the body. The way I look at it, there's a whole bunch of opportunity right here, right now. What are you doing? Has our walk with God become nothing more than me going to church and that's it? Amen. Praise God. You and I, folks, we got a job to do. We got a job to do. You may say, well, I work a lot. Well, are you isolated in your work? Are you just by yourself? I know you're preaching the gospel to them. I know Jay's preaching the gospel at work. I know there's some people out there, but I guarantee you, more are not than are. Something that I used to always ask people, and I ask them this again. When you go to heaven, how many people are going to be there because of you? Let me ask you this. How many people are going to be in hell because of you? What do I mean when I say that? Because every day you've been given an opportunity to minister the gospel to somebody. Have you done it? Have you done it? When was the last time you told somebody about you? When was the last time you lost a friend over the gospel? Have you done it? We call ourselves a Christian, but yet we avoid the Great Commission. Who's going to be in heaven because of you, Christian? Who's going to be in heaven because of me? I call myself a Christian. I call myself a follower of God. You know, when I got the revelation of this, I used to get all kinds of people hooked on dope. I got many people following me. You know why? Because I had a pocket full of dope. I destroyed. Many lives. Many lives. I pray regularly that God would redeem that time. I destroyed many lives. But I'm going to tell you something. If I work that hard for the kingdom of darkness, I am determined that more people come to know Christ because of my life than people became to know death and hell because of my life then. Let's stand up. I leave you with that challenge. I leave you with that challenge, church. Look at me right here. I challenge you. I challenge you. You look around our church here. We're a church that at one time had 200 people in here. And because people left, usually people think, oh, it's because of the preacher. He done something. I did. You know what I did? Preach the truth. I did. The message that I preached is the reason that many people left, because I would not preach or believe in predestination. I'm just letting y'all know this, because this body needs to know, because this body's a... I would not preach predestination. I'm not saying people that believe that are bad people or they're going to hell, but I ain't preaching it from behind this pulpit, because I can track it all the way back to Genesis, where man was given a choice. Many people left this church, you know why? Because they did not believe in casting out demons and speaking in tongues. Yeah. Casting out demons and speaking in tongues. That's the letter that I and I'm not mad at the people. I'm not mad. But I'm not going to compromise what I believe the Word of God says to fill any seat. Then we had another very large group of people to leave this church because they said that I preached out of the Old Testament too much, that we're not under the Old Testament, we're under grace. And it all happened within a matter to where when I just sat here, you go read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul said the things in the Old Testament were given to us as an example. Jesus quoted the Old Testament. Paul quoted the Old Testament. Matter of fact, Paul, I just read you a whole chapter out of Romans chapter 5 where he's going all the way back to Adam and bringing it up and tying it in together. See, you'll never truly understand Jesus Christ until you understand the Old Testament. And that's why I preach out of the Old Testament and the New Testament to unite the two. Now, so that's what's happened. But now here's my question. We can sit back and see what's happening, but what's your response to it? See, we can sit back and say, well, Pastor Kevin's got to preach better. Pastor Kevin's got to change his message. Pastor Kevin, you got to change your message because you know what? But you know what? I've always been this way. Jay's been around here. Monica's been around, and Jay's been around longer than anybody. Alva's been around. The message has pretty much been the same, Jay, for 10 years, has it not? Repent. Repent, turn from your sin, and follow Jesus. And if that message is not for you, then it is. But here's where people understand. Well, I need to hear something that's going to encourage me. I need to hear something that's going to build me up. Who do you know? Quit thinking about yourself. Quit thinking about only what you need to hear. Who do you know that needs to repent and turn from sin? The Bible says go out and do the work of an evangelist. So here's my question. We can sit back and we can talk and say, man, there have been some people leave U-turn. What's going on there? I just told you. Bible says in the last days they're going to look for preachers that tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. I'm not saying that's everybody. But here's my question. Many times people sit back and they expect me, well, Pastor Kevin's got to do this. Change. What's this body going to do? What's your response? You going to help me out? You going to invite somebody to church, bring them with you? Or is this a one-man show? You going to help me out? You got any people that you know that need to hear the word? You got any people that you would invite to church? You got any people, and you got any people that you know that you would invite to this church? Maybe you can't share the message. Maybe you can't preach it the way that I preached it, but you know somebody that would benefit from it. Let me ask you this. Let me ask my leadership this. Let me ask everybody here. Would you take this message today and would you hit share on Facebook? Would you get on Facebook and say, hey, I want to invite you out? Because I'm just kind of weird. If you're coming to church here, it must be because you believe what's being preached. Am I right or am I wrong? Are you scared? Challenging you, ain't I? Are you afraid of what somebody's going to say? You afraid that you might get confronted about something, get called judgmental or something? Just asking. Because these things do go through our mind, don't they? What you scared of? What you afraid of? Is the place that you go to church, or are you afraid that the message may be too strong and offend one of your loved ones? Just thinking about it. There's things I think. And I know some of y'all may be sitting here saying, well, Pastor Kevin, he's just trying. No. Listen, believe me. If it was about getting people to follow me, I'd preach a different message. Amen? Isn't that right, Rick? If it's about people following me, I'd preach a different message. I think somebody's kid escaped back here. Sound like one of them Tackett or Davis kids back here. So I challenge you with that, folks. Let's not get comfortable where we're at. But we got work to do. We know people. And I challenge you in this body because this body is the only thing that you can take to heaven with you is another soul. This church is about winning souls. Me and my brother went and preached in a prison yesterday. Seen the power. Matter of fact, Ronnie was telling me. He said, man, I sensed the presence of God so strong there in that service. He said he was continually moving through the whole service. Ronnie got up and shared. I got up and shared. About 40 people come down to the altar. Sean and Mally were there this morning. Sean preached. 21 more come down to the altar.
Church, I'm challenging you in this body. Don't be a body that just sits around and becomes lethargic and fat off of what we've been fed. Be a body that goes out and exercises the spiritual food that you receive. Bring somebody else. Because you know what happens if we don't exercise? If we eat more than we exercise, we get fat and lazy. And there's too many of us that have been eating from the spiritual diet of the Word of God for too long. And we've got fat on the Word, and we know a lot of Word. But we become lazy. And what ends up happening is this, what ends up happening in the church. Watch this. We're always looking for a place where we're trying to learn more about me so that I can become a better person. I need a class. Tell me how to be this. I want a class. Tell me how to be this. I want to sign up for a class. Tell me how to be this. I want to sign up for a class. When the Bible says, go. And I am a firm believer in this. The Bible says, a wise man wins souls. And I'm a firm believer. I believe this with absolutely every single drop of my heart. The Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. The Bible says that God shall not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that man shall receive. We believe that in the natural, but we don't believe it in the spiritual. So I believe with all my heart that if you want your spiritual, the fire in you to increase, you need to be sowing the gospel into somebody else's life. Because Jesus said this. He said, if you don't use what you've been given, even what you got's going to be taken. See, many of us don't have a fire to see people get saved. Many of us don't have a fire to see the lost come in. Many of us have absolutely no fire to minister the gospel to anybody else. You know why I believe that is? Because what we had's been taken. My daughter come to me. Can I share that story you shared with me this morning? My daughter come to me this morning. She was standing up here, or she come into my office. And she said the Lord just downloaded something in her, and she wanted her to just start singing it freestyle. And she said, she was like, oh, well, I don't know. She kind of hem-hawed around about it. And then the very exact thing that the Lord spoke to Bailey, Monica started singing it. And Bailey said, Lord, what's the deal? And he says, if you're not going to allow me to use you, I'm going to use somebody else. Many of us are missing the blessings of God because what God has called us to do, we delayed, and God's used somebody else. And you're sitting there going, God, when are you going to use me? Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I believe I preached exactly what you laid upon my heart today, that our righteousness only comes from one place, that our righteousness only comes from Jesus Christ. I believe, Father God, in your word that it tells us that we're all born into sin, but in the same way that we were born into sin, that when we become a follower of Jesus Christ, that we're transferred into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're taken out of the dark and we're placed into the light. And there's not but one way that can happen, and that is through faith in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Allah can't get us there. Hinduism can't get us there. Buddha can't get us there. Universalism can't get us there. Christian Scientology, which is not Christian at all, can't get us there. Oprah can't get us there. Dr. Phil can't get us there. The Mother Mary can't get us there. Being Baptist, Pentecostal, or Catholic can't get us there. The only thing that can get us there is the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And Father God, within this church, right here, within this body, Lord, no matter how many come, no matter how many don't come, we're going to preach that the blood still saves, that the Holy Ghost still convicts, that people are still to repent, that we still got a job as a body, not to sit here and become comfortable, but we are to go out and seek and save the lost just as Christ did. In the same way that Christ got off the throne, we're to get off the couch and go tell somebody about Jesus. I come against complacency. I come against lackadaisicalness. I come against slumber and laziness spiritually in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I charge this body to do the work of an evangelist. Does anybody in here know somebody that needs to come to church? Now I'm going to ask you this. I call people on a regular basis, send Joe out to pick them up or whatever it is. I'm going to ask you this. Are you willing your part to be to go pick them up? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to call somebody on the phone this week and say, hey, don't ask them. Tell them you're coming to get them. Because you know what? I look around this room, and most of the faces that I see in here have been coming here for a little while. Right? Most of the faces I see in here have been coming here for a little while. We got a job to do. Because I don't want this church to become a church to where we're ministering to the same group of people and then we start going home and saying, well, I ain't seen nobody get saved. Well, you don't have to get born again. So if you hadn't seen somebody get saved, it's because the saved people are coming to church and you and I got a job to do. Either get them saved out there or bring them here and get them saved. We got a job to do, one of the two. But we got a job to minister the gospel. So this is not, Christianity is not a sit on the bench sport, for the lack of a better word. Put me in, coach. I want to play. Put me in, Jesus. That's why Paul, he was playing coach. Run the race. Amen? That's all I got to say. And many of us don't let, well, that's all I got to say. Amen? So I challenge you. Christmas Eve's coming up. Bring somebody with you. Look around you, church. We got work to do. We got work to do. Am I right or am I wrong? We got work to do. We could sit back and bellyache and complain and whine and say, why have people left? I told you why. But that creates opportunity for others to come in here. We have got work to do, church. I was a fighter in the world. I never backed down from anybody. I ain't going to back down from the spiritual side now. Amen. We have got work to do, church. And if you are a part of this body, then we need to learn to operate and function together. Invite somebody to church. Go pick them up. Bring them with you. You may have to preach the gospel out there to them for a little while before they're ready to come. But do something. Amen. Do something to do what? Build God's kingdom. Amen. Praise God. God bless y'all. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you as you go this week. Have a very, very Merry Christmas. Don't forget, next Sunday, pajamas for the kids. Service right here at 10:30 a.m. God bless you. The Lord loves you. We love you. Bring somebody to church with you. Amen. Thank y'all. Oh, I forgot to mention that.